Right, here we go again. We're back with another weekly helping of Sheep Fam. Format is simple. I do say this, but I do get loads of emails sometimes about people not being able to log in and get the full podcast from Rumble or Podomatic. And I say, well, you can't get the full podcast from Rumble or Podomatic. It's only available on the website. We do a minimum of 4 shows a month. Members get full podcast plus download on the website, sheepfam.co.uk. Non-members get part one, and that's they're released on the website and on Rumble, Odyssey, and Podomatic, that ship them out to Amazon, Spotify, Audible, Google Podcast, and Tapple, and a few others. Please subscribe to the website. That's not joining as a member, just for email notifications, because if YouTube turns us off, there won't be a notification on YouTube. But shows are always released on Saturdays, so generally after lunchtime, but on Saturdays they're always released. Thanks for all the comments and emails. And that's about it, really, with me as usual. Is our Chris. It's 2 o'clock, so I won't be swilling. I think to slow down.
No, I've got a drink of tea. I've got actually clove tea. Oh, it's good for you. Right. I don't know what it does, but so it's somewhere in bars.
Good for detoxing is cloves. Cloves is good for detoxing, yeah.
Oh, good. Well, I just
they use them a lot in like that anti-parasite stuff. In fact, I'm just developing an anti-parasite capsule. I've got one and two, so the second one's going to have cloves in it.
All right, apparently it's good for anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, anti-inflammatory, yeah.
Which is good. It's nice as well, I like it. The Mrs. Cat stands the smell of it, but I really like
it. I love the smell of it. I like the smell of it. Taste of it. Clove tea, I think Mac sells it.
I just bought some organic cloves. You just give them a little crush and then boil them up. Mm.
Yeah.
It's all tea is, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It is. My website's up and running now anyway, so I'll put the link in show notes. Thanks for everybody who's ordered stuff on there. I'm a little bit behind with my products, to be fair, because I didn't really expect to be selling things just yet, but so my products are a few weeks late. I've got about 20 different products in the pipeline. I'll also put in, I don't know why I haven't done this before, I'm going to put Richard D. Hall, he's got his ear in, I think it's on the 28th of this month. And I'm going to put the links to donate to his case in the show notes. Right. So, like a slack ass, I should have been doing that weeks ago, but anyway, I didn't, but there you go. Enough on, haven't we? I also did a podcast this week. I've been quite busy podcasting this week. Didn't do three this week. Chris is in semi-retirement, so it's had to throw them on me. No, I'm joking. one of them I did with a guy called Dr. Thomas Levy. Pronounce his name right. And it's about an hour long. I haven't released it yet. That'll be going out on Tuesday, I do believe. And Dr. Levy is the vitamin C guru, is where I learned all my stuff about vitamin C from. And I did an hour's chat with him, which was surreal, really, because I've listened to that many podcasts about him. Mm. And I've passed on the information that he's given me for free to so many people for free again. Yeah, like you, even just down to you, Chris, you know, and I've seen it work on my kids, on your kids, and on myself and my wife, and then on friends and family and people like that use it now, all because I listened to Thomas Levy.
Hmm. What does he do?
He's a cardiologist. He's a board certified cardiologist, among other things. Yeah, so he's a full blown doctor. I was jumped over the other side, if you like.
I was just about
years ago.
Do you speak to him about current events or recent events?
Oh yeah, he's all over that. So
right.
He's wrote two books about vitamin C. One of them, Curing the Incurable, I'd say to anybody to read. That's one of them, and the Summit Panacea, I forget its name, but the Ultimate Panacea or something like that. They're about vitamin C and what it can do in massive doses. And we were talking about that all through. It was mainly about vitamin C, but we did go on about other stuff as well.
Right.
He's come up with a solution called Super 8, and that were interesting to listen to. I mean, I'm taking most of them, not in some of the doses that he tells you to take. So I'm going to be trying that out. And I'll let you know how we get on. Yeah. Which way do we want to go around this? Should we do the live event first?
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah. Okay. So last week we told you that there was going to be a live event on the 20th of April, Saturday, 20th of April. And we're now in a position to basically say that it's on. And we're going to be doing this live event with Mark Devlin. So it's going to be probably a full day job, isn't it?
Well, are you planning like half one start?
Something like that, yeah.
On Saturday.
Yeah. And so, something like that. And so it'll be a Saturday. We'll start about half one. It's at a hotel called Pennine Manor in Huddersfield. There'll be about approximately 100 tickets available. As you're listening to this, that link will be live. It'll be in the show notes of the podcast there. In the room itself, there's a licensed bar, which I don't think we'll be having the bar open. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't think we'll be the bar will be open during the talk. I think in the sort of breaks and stuff like that, get a pint or a drink of coffee and stuff. But that's the hotel's deal that you'd be paying them guys for that. So it's in a conference room. There's a restaurant there. There's also negotiated room prices. The rooms, I think, for two people are £85 bed and breakfast. So if you want to stay over, there's that there. Obviously, there's bar snacks. There's car parking. Everything's there. I mean, these guys asked us to do this there, and I'm quite chuffed that they've asked us. Actually, the manager is on side. A friend of mine, and Chris works there. So yeah, it's sort of caters for everything, really.
It's kind of odd as well because in the village we grew up in.
It is, yeah. It's a bit strange.
Up on the hill, yeah. But you can see that place from where we lived.
Yeah, and I can confirm as well that it's disabled access to the conference room via a stair lift and ground floor disabled accommodation too if required, if you need it. What we're planning on doing is me and Chris will do the first talk at 1:30. We'll do like a Mint Sauce Chronicles live, if you like, for about 90 minutes. And knowing us, we'll end up rabbiting on for longer.
We'll have 90 minutes.
Yeah, it will definitely be, I think. But I'm just putting approximate times in there so you can get a gist of what the day'll look like. Then we'll have about an hour's break. Then Mark will come on at about 4-ish, do, again, 90 minutes, but you know it's going to go on longer than that. Then we'll break for tea time. And then we'll start again at about 7 o'clock or 7:30-ish, something like that. And where all three of us will sit down and have a relaxed sort of chinwag. I'll put a few images and videos up and stuff like that to talk about. And I'm sure there'll be some Q&A and questions and whatnot as well. So it'll be a full day.
Q&A in the middle of it all as well, won't
they? Yeah. And what I will say, I mean, I only live a stone's throw away. Chris and Mark are staying over in the hotel. So I'm sure the bar will be busy until late for a good chat afterwards as well. So it's a tick, 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 really, for what we're looking at doing.
And also, I've made a special. I spent far too long on this. I did a ticket. I spent about, I don't even want to know how many hours I spent on it. I spent hours on this little blooming. I made a little ticket, basically, in the shape of like a retro cinema ticket, which if you buy a ticket, you'll get that email to you with your own personal name on it and number. And it's like a little individual piece of art. I'm quite proud of it, but it took me far too long. Spent far too much time putting into the details of this.
I think it'd look good on a T-shirt, that, Chris.
It would, actually, yeah. It would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we were going to do that for the last one. Well, I was going to do a T-shirt for that event. Yeah. I will do, actually.
Yeah. And then, that would be great one at Jonathan's as well.
When you go to a concert event T-shirt.
Yeah. I've just tidied up the actual live event that we did at Jonathan's. I'm going to release that at some point soon. The first hour, anyway, we've done. I didn't want to release it until I'd sort of tidied up some of the noise, because the background noise, there was heavy rain that night with a torrential storm on it, and you can hear it on the roof, hitting the roof.
That fella said, he mentioned it, didn't he? Said it were we were oblivious to it because we were down at front.
Yeah, we didn't even know. The live event with Mark Devlin, that is on. It's officially on. And so there'll be about 100 tickets. So you just go to the Sheep Farm Shill merch website and it'll be on there. But in fairness, there'll be a link here that'll take you direct to it. So there you go. Hmm. Yesterday, which was Thursday, we had the pleasure of finally welcoming on the podcast Dr. Mike Eden. Mm. It was really nice to talk to him, wasn't it, Chris?
Yeah, super nice bloke, yeah. Yeah, very interesting. Very different, I think. I think we delivered it. I think it was a very different kind of conversation.
Yeah, I do as well, yeah. But we were interested in the detail that he knew, and I think he were interested in, obviously, he's got
how
a lot
crazy
of...
we were.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But I think that's good, though, that, because he probably didn't get a chance to talk about stuff like that. Because yeah. he's talking to his learned friends, if you like,
Not
who aren't probably interested in it.
Not too northern numpties.
Yeah. too northern dickheads.
No, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. Hopefully he'll come on again. I think he would.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. So that, well, if you listen to this little brief intro that we're doing now, that will be on that after we finish talking. So thanks, Mike. Just before I came on, Crabclaw sent me a BBC news link, and it said pop-up MMR clinics in the Black Country amid measles outbreak. BBC News.
Yeah, I watched that. I saw that. I saw it on TV this morning, actually. I put the TV on this morning, and it was on there. Due to a lack of uptake of the MMR jab.
Right.
Leave us alone, you psychos. don't want your stupid MMR jab.
I mean, shove it up your ass.
But that makes me a little bit nervous. My nippers at school, you don't know what they're going to start saying and doing. She's not going to have it, that's for sure, 100%. But it's just another thing in it just to stress you out a bit.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, measles were around when we were kids. I don't remember it ever damaging anybody.
No. I mean, they say, no, in rare cases it can do this, and in rare cases it can do that. Well, if I stand on the roof and decide to jump off it on my head, in rare cases it'll probably kill me.
Well, there'll be a vaccine coming out for that. So don't worry.
Will there?
Yeah, anti-jumping off of a building vaccine.
Accidentally falling off your ladder vaccine.
Yeah.
What about, Chris, if you clip your nails down and you just go down to the wick?
Yeah.
You think they'll come up with a jab for that?
Oh, yeah, anti-wick vaccine. You've not heard, it's in development.
Is it in development? It's in the pipeline.
They said that measles can lead to, what was it? Breathing difficulties.
Spots.
Brain swelling. They didn't mention that, funnily enough. They never mentioned that.
Didn't mention spots, did it?
No, the main thing.
It didn't mention 99.999999% of people who get it generally all right.
Yeah.
Didn't mention that bit, did it?
But also, I know this is like an old story, but if you've had the MMR jab, you shouldn't be worried, should you? Okay, just leave it.
Should be worried, Chris.
Festering his own measles. Petri dish.
Yeah, but you could be throwing measles onto people, right? Who are vulnerable.
It says on that thing there that they're going to, did it say emergency tents? Pop up MMR jab places. Just
yeah, pop up MMR tent.
Oh, so you can get it at a pub car park like the COVID.
Yeah, pop up, just pop up next to AA guy
of someone who's never given a jib jab before. Yeah, I trust
next to guy selling RAC
in one of those little tents.
Yeah, just outside petrol station.
You can get RAC, get a new skybox, and get a jib jab while you're there.
MMR or one of them alarms that you can see through with a camera on it.
Yeah, I don't want any jabs, thank you. Don't want
I wonder what the strap line is. Feel a prick here.
Come here and have a prick.
Yeah, come here and have a prick.
It's funny when you think back all those years ago. Do you remember? It must be 5-6 years ago. Do you remember when I sent you them photos of that when I went to doctors and I sent you them photos of all bunting for flu jib jab?
How can they sell it without bunting?
But that literally had bunting. Do you remember? I sent you a picture of it. But literally that piece that was on TV this morning on the news was an advertising tool for the MMR jab.
Yeah.
And these people make money out of it.
Well, just constantly trying to sell it. That, again, why are people saying no? Because they've seen people being injured. Now they don't trust any of them. Mm. That's why they're saying no.
Yeah.
And yet, these journalists, twats on TV, constantly pumping it out as well as global climate boiling change. I saw an article the other day on climate. Why is this January so cold? It's fucking winter.
Just fall for any shite that they scoop out to us, don't they?
Yeah. Are they actually real stories then, or is it just some sort of AI? Sort of, let's pump that out in January.
I would imagine so.
Because I think it was Ed from Outer Lights. He did a bit piece on a journalist. He had his picture in this new, it was something like the New York Times or something like that. Had a picture there of this guy, his name under it, his bio, and then all, and stories. And they found out that he didn't even exist. He was AI.
Right.
And there were a whole group of them. And can you remember those? A few years ago, I was sending you them pictures from NVIDIA that there were these virtual humans.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
is
I remember.
Now happening. That's actually now. You know, this was that were 10 years ago or whatever. All these virtual humans that they'd made up. Mm. Now it's happening. Is that how they're going to say that population's increasing? Type of thing. You know what I mean?
Virtual
population increase.
I think they could convince us. I don't think it'd be that hard.
No, yeah. We say when we say us, we mean the royal us, the plebs.
I don't actually mean me at all.
Because it makes you wonder, right? Going back to this measles and all this other I don't know what you think. There's that many vaccines now, you forget which ones there actually are. HPV, all this. You've got all these jabs for what? How did I get to this age without them jabs?
Can't you just leave it to nature, maybe?
Well, no, they can't because they're eugenicists.
Well, they want you, and they want your brass.
And well, they want your soul, I think, Chris.
Well, yeah.
There's something about it, the energy drain, and the eugenics attachment.
When I was watching that show on the measles thing, and it showed it numerous times, and like jabbing kids, it just makes me cringe.
Makes you feel sick.
Little baby, then, you know, straight in it.
Yeah, yeah. Can you remember when Gates and his wife were jabbing kids in Africa?
In India, yeah. Yeah. Whole villages.
Yeah. All villages. Yeah. Terrible.
I'm just happy my nephew's got to her age and chat about anything.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm pleased that the World Economic Forum is meeting up in Davos, as I like to think it's called. And sorting the world out for us.
Yeah, unelected.
Unelectedly.
You listen to these scumbags and you just think, who are you? No one said they wanted you. And you're just there. Yeah. We're going to do this. We're going to do that.
Have you seen that shaman that was being used on it, Chris?
No.
I mean, people won't be able to watch this, but...
What do you mean, shaman? As in the shaman?
They had a shaman there, like, right. Blessing everybody. Hang on a minute.
Throwing chicken bones.
Shall I put it on? You'll be able to hear what she's doing, right?
Go on.
She's got this right, red triangle painted over her nose. It's weird. Watch this.
Atuma chayanu na nukambahu anuri nukamai nukamwaka na anuri no yuyuwa. Now I want Shinan for punk and Tushinan Shavawakin. Shinan Mukikirani, Tsang Shavakirani, Tsang Mukikirani. I want my winner. I want my winner. No, my own. Why? Why should I?
What the fuck
what
was
the
that?
Fuck's going on? I know you can't what see the...
It was basically a woman dressed in some form of Tibetan or Indian garb.
Yeah, shamanic. So,
she had a big hat on, a red triangle painted on her nose. I mean, whatever it was, shit, but why?
Yeah.
What relevance has that got to...
On the stage, blowing into people's faces. That noise you could hear her going whoosh, like that. She were actually blowing on the people who were sat in the chairs.
Individually, faces. One by one.
Yeah. And she didn't have a mask on. Neither did they.
What a, I mean, you know, it could, whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but why?
Why are all these things so rich? Well, we know why they are, but when you spot these ritualistic meetups, I mean, how out of place did she look there?
I mean, well, you couldn't have looked more out of place, could you?
No, you couldn't look more out of place there at all, at all.
What does that mean? If anyone knows what that means, let us know.
Yeah, well, last night it will have played on Rise Above because I sent it to Lance today. That's right up Lance's street, that, and Andy's. And I'll put it on the Matrix one as well. That was sent in by a listener, by the way. I forgot the name now, but thanks for sending it in. Getting a lot of people sending videos in saying, this will be all right on a Matrix video. It saves me a lot of work. keep the video short, you know, to about a minute, because otherwise I've got it takes me time to edit and then look through them. If you send me something that's 20 minutes long, I'm less likely to look at it, to be honest with you. And also, if these TikTok videos where there's somebody talking and a load of music playing behind them, again, you can't play them because they'll end up with a copyright on them. In fact, I want to address something. Somebody mentioned, I did that song with them all dancing on the other day, The World's Greatest Dancer. And somebody said, how come it hasn't got a copyright on? It actually has got a copyright on it, but there's different levels of copyright. That copyright that it's got means you can't benefit financially from it. Not that we do from YouTube, but it means you can't. Some of them get blocked in, so they're blocked in various countries, but you can still play it in this country, partially blocked, they call them. And some of them just get struck off, and you don't get a strike for it either. Then other times you do get a strike for it, but they're copyrights, not guidelines strikes, two different things.
Right.
So the guideline strikes are when you've talked about like medical stuff or what have you, and they say, right, that your video contains this, we're striking it off and you've got a strike against you. And those strikes last 3 months.
Right.
And you get, then they're wiped after 3 months. If you get three of them, you're turned off. But as we're finding out, they can turn you off anytime they want to anyway. That's why I'm less likely to put stuff on YouTube anymore, and why I only leave the Matrix ones up for a week. Although, after looking at Rumble, hopefully we can get her on the show, actually. I forgot the name now. But she did a fantastic podcast about who's behind Rumble. And we've seen the same people who are behind Rumble. Peter Thiel is behind Rumble. He's an investor in Rumble. And Peter Thiel is the guy who was the first investor in Facebook, who was on that Social Network film. That's obviously true because it was a film. that was the first investor. The character played Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel's. I think it'll just
get everyone
be
hooked on it and then rip it away.
The usual trap, or trapdoor, just like Twitter or X as it's called now, 666 as you call it. ironically, Chris, I mean, I've just sent you for the next Huxley one, the information that we're going to be talking about in that. And Thomas Henry Huxley, right, started a club for learned individuals in the 1800s called the X Club.
Why not?
Yeah, when it was a secret gathering of like professors and all these people that went to Oxford and Cambridge and stuff, talking about, you know, how to basically come up with conjure flying dinosaurs and stuff.
How to run the world for the next 10 years, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Right, just on the last thing, Crabclaw sent me another news story saying Biden admits airstrikes with Yemenis or Houthis is not working, but says they're going to continue them anyway. Now, I don't believe that Biden can tie his own shoelaces, right? So I don't think he said that. But
what do you mean? If he ain't making the decisions, who's going to be making them for?
Well, apparently,
Rishi Sunak's not making the decisions. Who's going to make them? You're crazy.
Rishi Sunak, who can't see over the top of a desk. In shy private eye. Yeah.
If I had a problem, anyway, he's the man I'd go to solve it.
Oh, Rishi?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Call Rattiers if you need problem solving. Rattiers or someone who can't even remember his first name.
Yeah.
Jim, John, or Joe. Yeah. All right, then. We will see you next time. I hope you enjoy the conversation we have with Mike Eden. We did.
Yeah.
See you soon.
Bye. See you soon. Bye.
Welcome to another weekly episode of Sheep Farm Podcast. And today we've got a guest. We've been sort of emailing each other for a good few weeks now. It's quite exciting to have someone of his ilk on, although he won't want to say that. But joining me and Chris is Dr. Mike Eden. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Dom. Hello, Chris. I'm amazed you actually tolerate me because, of course, I spent all my life working in one of the, shall we say, the least pleasant industries, which I didn't realise till quite recently. So, well, kudos for even having me through the door, virtual door, to the sheep farm.
I was involved. I had telecoms businesses, so I'm on the other side of it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. From 1990 onwards up to So, pharma, telecoms. There isn't right a lot to choose from them, really, is there?
No, I must say my wife often comments that if they weren't being used for nefarious purposes, these small screens are miracles. But I'm afraid they are being used, as you know, and I call them the glowing satanic rectangle. And I've got them in my hand almost all waking hours. If I could go back and make one change in the world, well, three changes, it would be to get rid of smart mobile telephony, cancel central banks, and destroy permanently the concept of public health.
Yeah, the Rockefeller medicine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't realize I did some. I had a link with some of the Huxley research I've been doing into the Flexners. And the Flexners, there was actually several of these Flexner brothers, all funded by Rockefeller, the Rockefeller family, through all doing different, sent out to do different types of work and that. So I'll be bringing that up in one of the next Huxley presentations. It's quite intriguing how all these people are intertwined, touched by certain aspects.
Yeah, I think, listening to your... I mean, very good, you know, Huxley's New World Order and all that sort of stuff and several other, you know, as it were, series, as they turn out to be, were pretty surprising to me. And
me.
I suppose.
Surprising as we went through it.
I wonder, guys, do you have like roughly a date in your mind when this kind of crap started to really get organised, or do you think it goes back into like prehistory, which it could do?
Yeah, well, I mean, we talk about bloodlines a lot, but I mean, I don't think it's just about bloodlines personally. The more I look into the royal bloodlines and the other bloodlines, I think there's something else. There's a certain energy, dark. Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose in Star Wars it'd be called the darkness, wouldn't it? The dark side. Mm-hmm. I would say in the mid-1850s, somewhere in that area, something changed. Something altered because a lot of things sprung up around that time, you know, dinosaurs and Charles Darwin's theories and things like that, and the Huxley family itself. A lot of these, I call them surface elite families. They're not really the controlling elites, but they're there put in place, seem to be to control cultural changes. And I think there's been several of these.
They burst through, as it were, as concerned wealthy liberals. Or I think, is it the Fabian Society?
Fabian Society, yeah.
And that became a sort of a cover for all sorts of things that ostensibly sounded good, like reproductive health can be turned to being abortion and depopulation, something like that. And I've learned everywhere that when an official explanation is given, that's the ostensible one. And there's always a real reason, which is usually the opposite, but certainly not the one they told you. Rule of thumb.
And sometimes they drag in normal people, like, say, me, into a telecoms industry because it looks exciting. You can earn a living from it, set a business up, etc. Staff can get a good job and earn a living. And it's so the surface level is always money. And then there's other layers to it where you're not part of that process. That is compartmentalized, and a lot of these people, like say Susan Mickey, her family was part of the IVF, early start for IVF, and a lot of these. So even Susan Mickey's father was involved in, I think it was the Enigma Code at Bletchley Park. So, you know, these people are intertwined, whether we like it or not. And her bloodline's a royal bloodline as well, via her mother, who was a dame. So.
I would say my theory is Mike is I think these same families and bloodlines have run the show since ancient Egypt, going back further. I really do. I do. And I've always thought that because I thought that it seems like these families, and whether they know it or not, and I'm sure some of them do, have moved from Egypt to Greece to Rome, and then this is just a new empire that we're looking at now.
It is interesting. So for me, the two furrows that I've kind of ploughed, one is on the science side. I mean, we can touch on that, but because that was what I did for a living, and I did it because I loved doing it. I always say to people that when it comes to science or machinery, I like to know how things work. When they don't, why is that? And how can I make it better? And I tinkered with old motorbikes, and I tinkered with science, and it was exactly the same set of like fascination and joy in the complexity and trying to work out, as I say, how it works, why it doesn't, how to fix it. And so when all the BS started about, the virus COVID stuff in 2020, within days, I was like hearing official lies. And I always say to people, a good rhetorical question is, how many is the right number of times that like public health officials and senior politicians should lie to you in a way that could affect your life or your family's life? And obviously the answer is zero. So once you catch them absolutely outright lying to you in a way that's really quite risky for you, you cannot trust anything they're saying, point one. And point two, whatever they've told you is going on isn't right, something else. And so I went down the science. It's not a rabbit hole, it's my area of expertise. And famously, by the end of 2020, I was saying not only was the PCR test not reliable, but every single major narrative point you've been told is a lie, all of it. So that was one. And then the other thing, I've always liked sort of like rock and pop music all my life. And unfortunately, I stumbled upon Mark Devlin. And in the States, a guy called Mike Williams.
Yeah, Mike,
And I thought these guys are very interesting. I think my mind was much open once I realized it ought to be. And so that unfortunately crossed a lot of joy out of mainstream, what would you call it, culture. The realizations Mark paints it, why wouldn't you exploit things that people pay attention to when they're relaxed? And of course they do. So, music and especially TV, but films, I suspect books as well. Question I've got, and I know Mark has got quite a dark view on this, it's like, is my artist implicated? And he says, I just haven't got around to yours yet. So it's like they probably all are. But I don't know, not everything. So yeah, there's
Again, I think.
I got into science because they paid me to do something I like to do, which is the things I just said, tinkering around with science.
And let's face it, Mike, there is a place for science. So if it's done right, there is a place for this. Like your wife said about mobile phones, a guy called Barry Trower, have you come across his work?
I have, yes, five or radio frequency expert, I think.
There are frequencies out there that are beneficial to humans, but they don't use them. And so they could use beneficial frequencies with mobile phones that enhance humans or animals or any life, but they decide to use nefarious ones.
I'll tell you what, one thing I was often asked, even in 2020. So I would say, look, these PCR tests, the way they're run, and I think I specifically said that it doesn't matter how sort of selective and specific they are if you don't run what are called controls. Now, most of your listeners probably know what a control is. But essentially, it's to run the exact experiment that you're going to run on a clinical sample, but you run it in a material known not to have the thing you're trying to measure. So that's like your negative control. And another one would be to run something that you knew definitely had the thing you were trying to measure, but you never added the clinical sample. That would be a positive control. And I pointed out all this mass testing. they were being done without these controls. And I would comment on that on Twitter when I was still allowed to be me on Twitter. And people would say, you know, shut up, they've done the controls. You don't need to do them again. It's very low. And I said, no, you can't run a clinical diagnostic without always running those controls. For example, folks, how do you know if the test has gone wrong? And the answer is, you check the controls. If it's gone wrong and it's negative, you look at the positive control, it's negative too. Test is broken. So you have to do it. And I said, look, anyone who knows anyone who's anywhere near this stuff, can you just say, just point this out to them, just have them connect with me. He says, can they explain why you're not running controls that I've done this for like 35 years, 40 years since I was at university. It's not valid to do it without measuring the controls in real time with every batch. What are the numbers? And they, so anyway, so I knew, I said, by the end of it, I said, I would recommend you don't believe any of these numbers. And so by June, I think I've worked out actually, but I always say my mind's about 3 months ahead of my mouth. That is, I have thoughts I'm not prepared to say in public because I think they're just completely outrageous. So by lockdown, I remember reasoning that what must be happening was an attempt to take over the world, probably to kill us. It sounds ridiculous, but I have to say to people, how else could scores of countries go into something we've never done before, lockdown, a phrase from the prison system of America? How would they all do that at once? When I'd read the, what do you call it, pandemic preparatory sort of rehearsals in each country, I'd read about half a dozen, none of them had any of that. So they were all doing something that none of their experts would have recommended 6 months earlier, but they'd all done it. And it's obviously harmful, you know, really terribly harmful, economically, socially, psychologically, and so on. And also, the financial costs would be so large that I reasoned that many countries couldn't do it without at least gaining some kind of assent from people who controlled money. You know, you can't tell central banks or treasuries we're not going to make any payments for the next 3 months because we're all on a furlough. So I thought, okay, if financial people have got to at least give it a nod, why would they do that? They've already got, you know, a good level of influence over society. Little did I know, but I thought they've already got a good level of control. And so what they must be wanting is more control. And very early we heard about you're going to have vaccine passports. So quite quickly I thought, somebody wants absolute control at the level of the individual and they're going to use digital technologies to do it. It's not really not a big reach. So I've kind of worked that out within days of lockdown because nothing else fitted. And then soon after that, we get the galloping vaccines. And of course, because I've been in drug discovery and rational drug design for like 35 years at that time, I had a look and it's like, oh my God, you know, you can't really inject people with that, can you? And so by summer, I was whispering to friends, you know, people I still work with, that the only reasonable conclusion is digital totalitarian tyranny and depopulation. Literally, people laughed at me, like patted me on the shoulder. And it's like, I said, I don't want to believe it either, but nothing else fits.
That reminds me of a story that Judy Wood told when she saw the towers coming down. I don't know if you've seen Dr. Judy Wood's work.
Yeah, I don't know much about that.
Yeah, she wrote a book called Where Did the Towers Go? You might want to have a look at that. Yeah, and she was a professor of architecture, and or some anyway, a structured. I think so. But she was in the university watching the towers go down because somebody said planes have gone into the buildings, and she watched it with her colleagues and started laughing when it came down because she said it looked like Wile E. Coyote had gone through it, you know, with the Roadrunner, and then the towers just turned to dust. So I really recommend looking at Judy Wood's work. But she told the story about all her colleagues looked at her like she were crazy. Same sort of thing that you've just explained there.
Isn't that the strangest thing, Dom and Chris? I'm really interested in your observations because I remember early on in 2020, it was my dear wife, Joanna, and we got a beautiful spring, didn't we? I'm sure it wasn't engineered. Not at all. I mean, they wouldn't do, they
We
surely
can't
wouldn't
do
do
things
that.
like that, can
So yeah, we enjoyed like a good walk in the morning and the afternoon. And honestly, we were getting up to like half marathon distance. We just like love walking. And what a privilege it was to do that. And so I was chatting to her as I do. And she's indulged me for like 40 years. Apparently, I used to talk biochemistry in the bath. So that's the sort.
Well,
That's her.
we've all got things to bar as wives to it.
Well,
Yeah, we
exactly.
have.
So she said, you know what? I do believe you. You know, I always believe you. You're a quite careful person. But she said a couple of things. It's like, why would they do that?
Yeah, that's the question,
And
isn't it?
I didn't have an answer. And you know what? After 4 years, I still don't have an. I don't have a
No.
satisfactory answer because we're told we're overpopulated, that the climate's warming, and that the, you know, whatever. And there's horrible infectious diseases circulating, none of which is true. So it's like, why are you trying to kill us? Why are you even putting us in a position where large numbers of people are dying avoidably? Because that is, you can't question that.
No.
Whether the intent is to reduce the population, which I think it is, and nothing else fits, or not, why would you go out of your way to injure and kill avoidably large numbers of people? So why would you do it? I don't understand, Chris and Dom, how the lives, you know, during the day or at night as they go to sleep, how their lives will be altered in any way if you and me and all our families are dead or if we remain alive. Why are they doing it?
Well,
Why are they doing it?
in research, you always come across, and I'm sure Mark Devlin and Mike Williams will come across all this stuff as well, that there's four or five traits. You always get the bloodlines. Yeah, you always get the highly educated people. None these people who are like Boris Johnson, they're not stupid people.
No.
That there's always massive amounts of trauma in the life, so they've got no empathy with anybody anyway. So they've got psycho traits. And on top of that, there's always eugenics or transhumanism floating around. So they're coming from families that, like Susan Mickey wrote a paper on eugenics. I've got a copy of it with another dame, Teresa, some such and such, I can't remember her name, and several others who were all involved in Sage. And this was in the 90s, about basically having perfect babies.
Wow.
The point is, though, Don, why are these
Why?
people? Why
Well,
someone's controlling them people
yeah, so.
to
On
pan out that
you're right. That's where
we
we're coming
want,
back to this energy, this dark energy of some
yeah.
nature. I don't know if you listened to the Jerry Mazinski podcast that we did.
I did, yeah,
Yeah, and
very
that's
interesting.
fascinating. It fascinated me in 2020 or whenever it was that I first heard him. And what are we witnessing there? There's something we can't explain. Going back to what you were saying, Mike, I don't think there is an answer other than they aren't like us.
Yeah, I know. And it's up. Yeah, actually, again, for those listening who I don't know, you may choose to listen to me or not. What was it? What was it? I just lost my thread of thinking for a moment. Oh, yeah. So I would describe what was happening. And people would say to me, you know, more or less, what possible motive, Dr. Eden, could X, Y, and Z have for doing that? I said, excuse me. They repeat the question, said, why are you asking me that? And that they didn't know. And I said, I think you're asking me that because unless I can come up with a motive, you won't accept my evidence, which I just want to say to you, that's kind of weird. Imagine I'm looking out my bedroom window and I see in the street a couple of guys assaulting another person. They've knocked him to the ground, kicking him. One of them's got a knife out. I've got my phone in my hand. I dial 999. I get through to the police and I say, emergency, I'm reporting an assault in the street. I can witness the guy being attacked and he may be killed. And they go, wait, unless you can tell me the motive of these two guys, I'm not going to pay any attention to your evidence. But that's what people do. It's like, I don't know the motive, guys, but this is the objective evidence. And can you come up with a benign? That was often my line. I said, I can't come up with a
Dr.
benign.
Judy Wood said the same thing. She started out quoting like Sherlock Holmes, where you don't
Yeah.
jump to who did it. You look at the evidence first
Yeah.
and look at what happened. And so she obviously had the same train of thought as what you had.
Going back to what Mike said earlier, even going back through the ages, like I was talking about earlier, the evidence is there as well. It's in the symbols and the architecture. So it's all through history that the same people or whatever folk they are are using these symbols to communicate the whole historic event for as long as we can see.
That's actually amazing. I hadn't realised something about that from, again, I think it was Mike Williams or Deep Foray into the, I can't remember the names of them, Isis and Osiris. And there were certain symbols and he'd be pulling them out of the music business. And so I had these symbols in my head and we were in south of France last year or late earlier this last year. Yeah. And I was walking along the coast and there was this really old church. And I thought, oh, I'll go and see how old it is. And it was 500 years old. And then I looked up and up in this sort of, Grecian kind of triangle at the end of this church, there was a carving. So I stood and I took several pictures of this carving, got back to the apartment and blew it up. And God, it was one of those damn symbols, you know, with
I think it had a
pyramid and an eye and,
Just a coincidence.
Unbelievable.
Me and my wife went to Sicily for our honeymoon, and she actually stopped going in there because there's so many churches, obviously, in Sicily. And I took the camera, I took so many photos, all with the pyramid, more blatant than it is in England, with the pyramid and the all covered in symbology. These places are ancient, and then we're seeing the same things now in music.
You do look
TV.
Like a Colombian tourist, though, don't you? You dress like a Colombian tourist.
I do look a bit like a Colombian tourist.
it is remarkable. So I think I had no idea of that when, and I'm sure the people who understand some of the duality of life, what it seems to be like, and then some underpinnings. So, of course, when people like me arrive on the scene for the first time, they go, yeah, look, here's another new arrival. And that's fair enough. It is fair enough.
I don't think like that, Mike.
No, it's very kind of you.
We've never thought like that, though, because I think people like yourself see totally different things to how I'd see it or Chris sees it. We know we've all got our own angle to how we witness stuff. You've said stuff today that I didn't see, you know, just in the short, 30 minutes or whatever. I think there are people like that, sadly. I've been thinking like this for 20 years. Who are you to think like this? Well, there's no rules or protection on who should or should not think like this. No. I actually sympathise with people who actually had the download in 2020 because the downloads were so heavy.
They were. Absolutely. I describe it as psychological whiplash. At the rate, I think, I mean, why did it happen to me? I think it was a whole series of like happy, or is it unhappy, whatever, coincidences. So I was available. I'd stopped working full time. I'd gone a bit ill when I was in 2016 and I bounced back. But at that point, the company I'd started had been sold, so we had a bit of money. And I just thought, sod it. I think I'll just do a bit of light consulting and enjoy early retirement. So I was available. The crime was perpetrated very close to my areas of expertise. So if they'd done it in, I don't know, Alzheimer's disease or something or whatever, I probably wouldn't have got onto it because it was respiratory and inflammation immunology and measurements. And so it was. So I was available, it was right on my doorstep. Oh, this is the third thing. The people on the telly box were people known to me. So I promised not to, I don't think it's a good idea for me to name lots of people because, it's just not me, my policy.
We know they
one
are.
Person, one when, one person yeah. recently, and it, I wasn't even bothered about the person I named. It was what they were doing. They were maintaining something I believe is false. So anyway, I recognised people on the television because I knew them not well, but I worked alongside them decades earlier. So that combination, readiness, proximity to my skill set, and hey, there's someone I know, and the combination made it. Oh, also the fact that it was such an odd thing, right? It's like an odd thing.
Everything it was a military operation, wasn't it? It was military, a global. World takeover on a scale that you could never imagine.
No.
Even me and Chris, who sort of, going back to what you said, we've been into this for a while, we knew, you could sense something was happening, but you wouldn't have known it was 2020 and it was this going to be this thing and how they did it. We just wouldn't know. Very clever.
Something was coming. I think some people knew something.
Very militaristic how they ruled it out, hence why the military was involved. To scare people as well. The military was involved to scare people. And I don't know if you've well, one thing before I forget, you're very fortunate as well, going back to the 2020 download, that your wife was willing to go along at the same time, because we've heard some real horror stories about people. I was talking to someone the other day who split with his wife, kids were involved. Just a proper horror story, because as you know, when you go over this down this road, there is no going back.
No.
You can't just step back and say, "Ah, I thought about that, but I'm just going to carry on with watching EastEnders."
No, we are no longer, I'm no longer friends with anyone with whom I was friends prior to 2020. And they've made their own decisions, but none of them have, as it were, even jobs alongside. There's one guy I've known the longest since university, who's a professor of immunology, by the way. And so he went down the rabbit hole far enough to actually write papers with me, the sort of stuff that's published in the alternative media. I don't mean journal articles. But then one afternoon, he literally stopped answering the calls. And he spoke to Joanna, and because of course we've known him since we were kids, and he just said, "I'm just looking after myself, Joanna." So it wasn't even looking after his family. Just, I suspect, pro vice chancellor or something came into his room and said, "Look, you have to shut up, otherwise our grants will get turned off, or you will be dismissed," something like that. So he could have retired. I have to say, I resent people who say, "Keep going, Mike. I've always known you were right, but I can't join you because of my mortgage." It's like, I would say any professional person who's like mid-50s and up, unless you've been a complete idiot, you could stop now. And so for you not to join in is an act of cowardice. And the excuse that you've got to pay your mortgage is just that. You want all the benefits and none of the costs.
I know
I mean,
nurses that retired early because of they didn't want to go through the process of being jabbed,
You can't put a financial thing on this thing that's happened, can you?
No.
You
Well, that's the
cannot.
point.
I
I
don't
was,
care. Don't care
yeah,
what you're losing.
I just wanted to, as it were, I don't think I do fully, but I can understand someone who's sole breadwinner and big debts, family
Yes.
took
Yeah.
responsibility. So you can argue
There are
it.
different circumstances, aren't there?
You can
Yeah.
argue it exactly. But those people, I believe, professionals, mid-50s, maybe earlier, because I can remember the numbers. I would not have lost my house, and I probably wouldn't have noticed a material change in standard of living. I'd just have a smaller pension or a smaller life savings pot. So anyone who carried on under the excuse that I've got to pay my mortgage, it's like, no, you wanted a new Porsche, carry on mixing with the people you're mixing with, because you can't do that, as you
And
said,
status
Phil.
came into
You
it as
have to.
well, because the not just the financial status, but the status of, being in the crowd.
But also,
I remember, sorry, Chris.
are they in denial that they could possibly be killing people and children?
Yeah, the
Is that
part A to it. Do you want to be part A to that, really?
just there's got to be a point where you stand up and say
I
no.
remember saying to my missus, as long as we've got a roof over our heads and we can eat, I went back to real basics, forget all this materialistic. And I, like you, Mike, had sold a business. And that's all that counts now, because we're at war. And that's how bad I thought it was gonna, I was ready for that, how bad it was going to get, to batten down the hatches, whatever it came to.
And I think it will, unfortunately.
I think it'll come to something like
Whether
that.
it's going to be disease X, which is, oh, just by the way, as a scientist, having started believing all of the standard things that you believe, like, that acute respiratory diseases are caused by submicroscopic infectious particles called viruses, and that you convey them from one person to another, and with it, the symptoms, that is not true. It's not true that. And it's not just me asserting it. There have been experiments that go back for over a century, where people have attempted to demonstrate symptomatic transfer. That not PCR, nothing measured in a test tube, but just somebody who's got an acute respiratory illness, giving it to somebody else. I don't mean anecdotes, folks. Of course, that happens anecdotally, and that evidence is consistent with contagion. It's not proof of it, but it's consistent with it. But there are loads of studies where people have tested tens to hundreds of people and they can't demonstrate
Yeah, they've
symptomatic
even taken snot out of
transfer.
people's nose and shoved it
Yet
up people's nose,
they
and
have done that, coughed in their faces,
horses'
shaken
not nose, and
hands,
yeah, all these things.
extracts. It doesn't. So basically, Acute respiratory illnesses known as colds and flu, I think, are not infectious diseases, and they're not contagious. So if they tell you there's another respiratory infection or respiratory, whatever they call it, transmitted disease, they're lying. They're lying. It would be a first in the world.
I would say there are either frequencies, and we've had this germ V terrain thing before, or some sort of or bioweapons, which is probably why Porton Down's there in the first place.
They obviously have a plan for this disease X.
Oh, yeah,
and for to get to people to go back to
and
2020.
Twitter changed its name to X as well.
Yeah. To get people to go back to 2020, they're going to have to make people sick, I think. And are they going to get sick because of the jib jabs that were flown out? Or is a jib jab going to react to some magnetic or pulse?
Well, in any military term, takeover, they've got reduced strength, which is in a human, it's your immune system. So they're going to reduce your ability, which they have done over generations anyway, with the toxic load that people are carting around with them. And that is one way, either via EMFs or via
But for them to carry
poisons.
Out Project X, they're going to have to make people, or they know people are going to get ill or ill.
I mean, the thing is, I did think that at first, and that may well happen. I would say, folks, I don't have a copy of the script, I don't know what's going to happen.
I hope not, Mike.
No, exactly. No, definitely. So,
interesting read, though.
Yeah, it would be. It would be, wouldn't it? I mean, we should touch on this. It's like, how the hell are they keeping it all going so neatly?
Because of the lobotomization of the people. I mean, when I go to football with my little one, football with my little one. And I listen to people talking. Some are questioning it. Well, Chris has just wrote something down before we started about someone questioning something, didn't they, Chris?
Well, my missus is mum. I mean, they're fully tapped up, mum and dad. They've not listened to me. I've tried to say, and they thought I was crazy and all this stuff. And we should get it. Me and my family should get it. And her mum's just said to her the other day, we're not getting any more of those jib jabs. And she also said, isn't it weird? Have you seen all those sports people collapsing and stuff? So she's seen that happen, but she hasn't put the two together. I'll put the two together when I see her next. But whether she listens to me or not is another story, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it could be, because let's have a think. You know, there's this saying, it might be Napoleonic, which is something, or maybe it was from, is it from Clausewitz,
You can't believe where any of this stuff's from, but
the military people from Germany. I can't remember the ones with the spikes on their helmet.
The Prussians.
Yeah, the Prussians, the ones with von in front of their name that consider themselves upper crust.
Where but Klaus think, Schwab came from.
And they would say things like, I think it was like a battle plan scarce survives first contact with the enemy.
Right.
In other words, no matter how long you plan and plot and tabletop simulate and think things through, basically it goes to hell in a handcart pretty well straight after. So you need an emergent plan. And the way the Germans managed that was to agree what the mission was at the highest level, because then it would allow an individual, wherever they landed, they knew what the mission was, and they worked out their circumstances after half their men had been killed, they'd be able to land, reorientate, and move off in a direction that would be supportive of the mission. And the British didn't work like that. They wanted to tell you what to do at all times. So I'm just wondering, how the hell are they keeping control of everything from the West and Davos? They obviously, they're running it. But how do they keep control of 200 countries all the way down to car parks and gardens?
So humans are very good at being controlled, aren't we? Liking to be controlled. I mean, the best slaves, the slave that don't know they're actually a slave, aren't they? And so the people are controlled financially. If you think about it, they know that a human cannot handle two or three traumatic things at events at any one time. And look how many are going on. We're just bombarded with these events constantly nowadays. And if you watch the news, which I don't, imagine if you were glued to the television and the news.
Oh, God.
Well, you would think.
I mean, there's some hope in some aspects where the plan can't always be as smooth, but like me and Domo say, the revolution will not be televised from.
but yeah, we're only seeing one aspect of it.
But the track and trace didn't work, did it? They spent billions on it, and it didn't work, did it? And that kind of drifted away, and everyone stopped talking about it. But that was going to be a big
yeah,
part
I
of
thought
the
that was
story.
Going to be a big deal. In fact, it is interesting. I'm not particularly well read, so when I mentioned Potemkin villages, it's only because someone mentioned it. I looked it up, but basically, it's a construct, not the real thing, and it's named after the person who ordered the construction of an apparent town, apparently for military or political purposes. So, but the thing I think a lot of these digital electronic, control systems are Potemkin villages, and I'll give you some examples. One is we now live in a different house than we lived in because we went to America in 21, stayed there for a whole of 22 and came back at the beginning about a year ago. So we sold everything because I thought we're probably not coming back.
Yeah.
So now we're so close to the railway station that we've only got one car, because what would I need a car for? Not that I'm trying to play into the 15-minute city town, but I genuinely don't need it. So we're using the train a lot. So you get these tickets and there's a little magnetic strip on the back. And I would say about a third of the time they don't bloody work. They just don't open the barriers. And I think, how can something that's 30 years old that I just brought this morning go wrong so often? Mm. Are you really going to be able to control me being able to buy a packet of bacon or a pint of milk in real time, getting it always right, never with a delay? Probably yes in the end. I don't think they're ready.
No, they're not ready now.
Generations
ahead. I mean, the plan obviously hundreds of years in ahead by the UN and obviously all their little feeder NGOs. Mm-hmm. And I think me and Chris have spoke about this quite a lot, and other people have as well, that there are several groups that vie for power constantly. So maybe in 2020, a couple of groups got together and then the other ones have fought back a little bit. And I don't mean it politically, because politically it's just sewn up. They're all controlled. As 2020 proved, I can't believe 600 and odd people were so controlled in 2020. I know a few of them are jumped out now and talking about things, but
MPs?
Parliaments around the world, not just in one country. That's a lot of people. That
another fail, Mike, that we always point out is when they were trying to get all the nurses jabbed, and within the same week, you must get jabs, you must get jabs, you must get jabs, and in the same week they said, no, you don't need to. So the pressure pushed them back, but they didn't. They wouldn't televise it like that. It was like, due to new data, we've now decided that the nurses don't need to get the jab.
If they'd all gone along with it, it
could have been a different outcome altogether. We could all be trapped in our houses.
Yeah. So I'd say to people that the idea that resistance is futile isn't. I don't think it's correct. I think it's extremely unlikely that we'll be able to completely stop these lunatics making a bit of a mess of the back garden, as I call it. But I don't think they're going to. I don't think they will succeed in completely controlling all people. And then, to the extent that they're trying to build a system of digital controls, where unfortunately, I could eventually envisage you'd need to beep your digital ID, your valid digital ID, in order to cross any regulated threshold. And in parenthesis, I would say, in time, every threshold could be regulated, including your own front door. Mm. And that system, I think it's so antithetical to ordinary human life that it requires energy to make it happen. It's akin to managing to balance something like managing to balance a pyramid up on its point. You can do it, but it's called metastable state. It's kind of almost any perturbation and it will fall apart. And I think that is ultimately what's going to happen, because I don't believe what they're trying to build, put in place, can ever kind of relax into a sort of a year or decade eating lope through time. And everybody goes, yeah, that's fine. I think it's just, there'll be enough rebels, people like you and me, you and us, who'll just say, you know what? I'd rather be dead than live under these circumstances. Yeah.
The dangerous people are when they've got nothing to lose. That's the scary thing for. And I always think that they worked out roughly, Spy B did, that there's about 5% of the population think like we do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't mean to say we're all always right. Don't mean to say we all think aligned. But overall, we think in the same way. And we know that we'd lose everything rather than say yes.
Yeah.
They're dangerous people to the system. Very dangerous people.
They are. And in fact, again, I hate to be Jeremiah, but I do think hard times are coming. But like your example of the NHS 100K and the nurses like lobbing their uniforms over the barriers into the number 10 compound. And that it did force a change, however small. And it was a big deal to those people who didn't need to get jabbed. But it definitely is worth resisting. In fact, I think that's the only thing that could make any difference. Is I don't think there's a political savior. And it could be that it hasn't been for a long time, you know, maybe decades, maybe centuries. I don't know.
If you take 2020,
I was just going to say, we've got to do it. It is down to us. So anyone who's listening and has kind of realized, oh my God, you know, we're in trouble. It's like, fine, you know, take care of yourself, you know, be kind to yourself, good to your health, keep your relationships strong. But thereafter, it's like, do not take any BS.
Yeah.
Don't wear a mask. Please don't wear a mask. Not even for an easy life. When you do, you coerce other people to doing it. When you stand up and they go, wear your mask. And it's like, well, I can't. I can't breathe with a piece of paper across my face. And anyway, they don't work. Mm. Yeah, that if you, enough people just refuse, it won't work. They'll probably still get aggressive and smash the place up. But imagine, I say to people, imagine if we literally had a war, you know, where we were bombed and people had died. But eventually we woke up one day and that part of the conflict was over. And it was like, okay, you get up and you fix whatever's in front of you as best you can today. And then give your partner a kiss and go to sleep. You'll sleep like a baby and you get up and do it again tomorrow.
All right, we've reached the end of part one of this episode with Mike Eden. If you're joining us on in hour two, we'll see you there. If not, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Cheers, Michael.
Cheers, then.
Before my life, I was a part of the ocean.